I'm Leon Steele, and we're glad you can join us today as we continue our study of what God Himself says about His church and how it must function here on earth. When we speak of the church in general terms, it is meant to include all of Christianity and its churches as a single entity or as one religion. That also generally means we refer to Christianity as one entity with common core beliefs that tie all of the tens of thousands of different Christian churches together as one. The question must be asked, though, can it be possible that one church can contain such diverse beliefs and doctrines and teachings as are found in our Christian churches, and still all be connected together as one unit or be of one belief and one faith? God's answer, given in His Word, says no, that His church stands totally alone and apart from all others. Now, that's plainly stated by Jesus as He was being questioned by a Roman ruler named Pilate, and this was just after He had said that He was a king, which meant that He was the head of a kingdom. Those words were spoken just before His crucifixion and death to a Roman ruler named Pilate, and in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answers Pilate's question about His kingship by telling him this. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If, Jesus says, "my kingdom were of this world, then my servants," that is, the citizens of His kingdom, "would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Jesus was telling Pilate, and Pilate accepted His answer, that Jesus was not claiming kingship in this earthly world of man. And that raises this question, though. To what other realm could Jesus have been referring? We know of only two realms, that is, the physical, material realm of the universe and man, and the spirit realm of God. Adam was the first being created by God of the human race of man. The first man, Adam, was and is the head, the first of all mankind. That is, he was head of God's physical earthly kingdom of man. God gave Adam all and all of his descendants dominion and authority to rule over the earth and all the things in it. And this is stated in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 25 through 28. And let me just read those. Verse 25 of Genesis 1, God tells us, "God made the beast of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good." And by good is meant that everything God had created was perfectly formed and suited to the purpose for which He created it. Verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God gave dominion over the earth and everything in it to the man Adam, from whom all mankind, including the first woman, Eve, has descended. Not only have we all descended from Adam, but we have inherited as mankind the dominion and rule over all the earth that was given to Adam and his race. God did not give man conditional dominion over the earth that would last only as long as mankind met certain conditions, but He gave dominion that would continue until God Himself, who would become the man, Jesus Christ, would return to reign and rule over all things in the heavens and on the earth. We still are exercising that dominion, which will continue until Christ returns to this earth to rule over all things, physical and spiritual. Now, verse 27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Just a couple of comments now on man, who is both male and female, being in the image of God. Man, male and female, is described as one. God also is one, whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Being one means that man, male and female, is what we term a unit. That is, mankind is one unit made up of males and females who are totally dependent on one another for their very existence. God created Adam, and then out of Adam, He created woman, as we will see in just a moment. But to be one, to be a unit, means that everything within that unit is absolutely required for it to function. Again, no part of one, of a unit, exists outside and apart from the unit itself. Man is a kind, or species, of living beings descended entirely from the one man God created, Adam. We all, males and females, act in concert with one another because nothing we do individually occurs outside of and apart from what we all do. Our lives are totally interconnected and dependent upon one another. God created man from the dust of the ground as a physical creature with mortal, physical life that returns to the earth when the flesh dies, in just the same way as the other living creatures here on earth. The difference, though, in man and in all other of God's created mortal creatures is that God, who is an eternal spirit being, created man, male and female, as a physical being who is in the image of the Spirit God, but he is not yet in the likeness of God. God created man with a body of flesh that would die, but he also created Adam with a spirit and mind somewhat like that of God. Adam did not actually become a living, fully functioning being until what we're told here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 occurred. Genesis 2 and verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life." Then man became not only a living creature like all other creatures, but a being with spirit or nature and mind that was in the image of God himself. When we use the name God, it applies to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are one. In the same manner, or in the same way, man, male and female, including their offspring, are one. Man, male and female, cannot exist apart from one another because we're of one substance. Of course, men and women differ in form and function by God's design, but are of one substance, and we're told that in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 21 through 24. In these verses are described the means by which God made man one, as male and female. Verse 21 now of Genesis chapter 2. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man." For people who actually do believe in the God of the Bible and believe his words, this, of course, completely destroys man's theory that man, the species, who is male and female, and all the creatures of the earth today, somehow evolved from nothing. It is stunningly remarkable that there are many, even in Christianity, who teach that God did create the heavens and the earth, and then go on to say that God set in motion the evolutionary course, but he was no longer involved in how it would turn out after millions and billions of years. The miraculous result, they say, luckily, has turned out to be man as he is today. For everyone who claims to believe in the God of the Bible, though, it brings up this question. If God allowed evolution to proceed by genetic mutation and natural selection, as they say, with no control and direction on his part, then God must have had no plan for what we would be like, and if no plan exists, then man has no future or hope except to perish. God himself unequivocally denies such a thing, though, because he says that he created the earth's living things, including man, as we are today, to be in his image and likeness. Now, people argue, saying, well, there are fossil records that go back millions of years, which prove that man's theory of evolution must be true. God does not specifically address in his word, though, exactly when God formed the heavens and the earth, nor does he give us the history of whatever life might have existed previous to the scriptural record he gives us in Genesis. Nonetheless, God is entirely clear in his words to mankind, telling us precisely when the earth came to be shaped in the way we find it today, and how man entered into the life that we all now live in this world. Here's the thing, though. If we do not believe in and accept the truth of our origin and life given in the first three chapters of Genesis and the first chapter of John, then we have nothing left to believe in other than the ideas and theories of men who could not possibly know how they came to exist. Nor could man know his God-created purpose of being in the image and likeness of God except by God's direct revelation. That there was a period before anything existed is clearly stated in the first chapter and verse of Genesis, and also in the first chapter of John's Gospel, which relates the origin of the man Jesus Christ. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment to get a complete description of how all things came into existence, and then we'll come back to the account of how the earth came to be in the condition that it's in today. In the first verse of Genesis, God tells us this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There's no time frame included here, just that back to a period before time even existed, God lived, and that he created the heavens, the universe, and the earth. And this is also affirmed in the first chapter of John's Gospel, which details the entry of God into the world of man as a man. As the man Jesus Christ. This is found in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here we read, "In the beginning was the Word." And let me just say this, the term Word as used here is a proper noun. It's a specific name. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2 reaffirms verse 1 then by saying, "He was in the beginning with God." And this is speaking of eternity past, that even before anything had been created, God existed. He was in the beginning with God. Back now to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. In Genesis verse 2, we're told, "The earth was," or it had become, "formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." The earth had become shapeless, empty of life, and without light. Some great events had occurred of which man has no sure knowledge, but it had caused the earth to become uninhabitable. Then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." My apologies for jumping back and forth from John to Genesis, but the book of John actually reveals the beginning of all that exists in the universe now. While Genesis reveals the condition of the earth and its creatures, including man, from the reformation and remaking of the earth's surface and life, described in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 3 through 26, which I don't have time to read, but that describes the earth and its life, including man, as it was created and exists today. Now in verse 3 and 4 of John chapter 1, we read, "All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Man has absolutely no recorded history of any kind of when or how the earth was first formed, nor when the events of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 began, except the words of God in the Bible telling us when and how it all took place. The only real knowledge we have is what God has given us, saying that he created man, male and female, just as we are today. Now, either that is true or nothing can be accepted as true. It just is not possible to believe what God says and at the same time believe what evolutionists, atheists, and even many in Christianity theorize and guess about our origin. Man has no original knowledge or memory of how everything came to be, except what God has revealed to us in his Word. So let's go back to God's creation of woman now in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, which we read earlier, and which was, in fact, the completion of man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22. "The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man and brought her to the man." There's just a wealth of information contained in those words. The Lord God fashioned the woman into a very different form than the man, so that the two together would make up the species of man, and as such would be in the image of God. They would function differently as male and female, but in ways and areas that would enable them together as one to fulfill their purpose. God made the woman out of Adam and brought her to the man. God had previously brought all the animals of each kind, male and female, before Adam, for him to know and to name them. Each kind or species were male and female, and both had been given their God-created part to contribute to the multiplying and flourishing of their kind. Listen to what Adam says now about the helper, the mate that God had made for him. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The woman Eve was not created out of the earth, as was Adam, but was created out of him, and so was one with Adam. She was totally like him in flesh, soul, and spirit. She was constructed, if you will, out of Adam, so that man as a kind would be able to function as a complete unit and be able to be and to do all that God had made him fully capable of doing. Verse 24, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Why, though, did God spend untold eons of time creating the material universe of which we're part? And why did he make all the living creatures that we have today? And why did he give man rule over all the things of the earth? The answer is that the things of the earth were created for man's use, as God went about his business of making man in his likeness. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." This is what we are part of today as mankind. We are ruling over the things of the earth, but God rules over all things, of course. Verse 27, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" God planned how everything would be worked out, and God himself has brought it all to pass. Man, of course, contributed nothing to his own creation or to our spirit, mind, and flesh, which make us one, even though we are each a unique being. But we have inherited everything that we are as human beings, and it all goes back to what God intended from the beginning, which was to make man in his own image, and then through his own works he would make it possible for man to be saved from death and changed in spirit, mind, and body into his likeness by being born of God and inheriting God's eternal life as part of his kingdom. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus tells us of the only way that man can be changed and become like God. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now this is God himself speaking. He, God, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world as a man to save the world. Jesus said that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. The name of the only child conceived of God and born of a woman was Jesus, who was and is fully God and fully man in one person. He is God. God is, to use a human term, a family name, just as man also is a family name. This was God's purpose for creating man as we are, so that God could inherit the life of man by being conceived in and born of a woman. That then made it possible for man, who has been born of a woman, like Jesus was born, to also be born of God as his own eternal spirit children. Jesus did not stop being God when he became a man. He simply added human life to his eternal life as God. Man does not stop being man when he believes in God and in his Son Jesus, and God causes him to be born anew of his eternal life and spirit. Rather, God's life is added to man as his inheritance, in the same way man's life was added to Jesus. And we'll see more about this in a moment. But we must understand that everything which exists was created for this one purpose of God, to build himself a kingdom of beings who are entirely like himself, who are like him in spirit or nature and in mind and in body. God, rather than being idle and detached through time, has been entirely focused on working to bring about the building and completion of his kingdom of believers. If you think God has not been intimately involved with his creation, which he loves, let me just quickly give you a very short chronological synopsis of his work, beginning with what we read earlier. And this begins in John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God." Now, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 for a moment. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Then again in John chapter 1 and verse 3, "All things came into being through him." This is Jesus Christ that's being talked about. "All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. So nothing exists that God has not made." In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, "The earth was," or had become, "formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Now at that point, God began the creation or the reforming of the earth into the form it is in today, and he created all the plants and animals, he says, that exist now, including man, male and female. But Satan deceived the woman. Again, this is in somewhat of chronological order. But Satan deceived the woman, who then led Adam to disobey and to turn away from God. God's work of making man in his image and likeness was not deterred in any way, though. For about 1,500 years, God allowed man to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. But man became so corrupt and so opposed to God that he destroyed all except the one righteous man left on the earth and his family, eight in all. And he's speaking of Noah. And you would think that that surely would have been the end of man. But again, the earth began to be repopulated. And again, God's plan for his kingdom was continuing. From Noah was descended a man named Abraham, through whom God would continue his work of salvation, of making man in his image and likeness. Abraham believed in God, and he believed God's words, and he obeyed him. So God made a promise to Abraham that from him a seed, the Messiah, would enter into the world of man, and that anyone who truly believed in God would be saved. From Abraham, then, came the nation of Israel, whom God had chosen for his own physical people here on earth. Israel had nothing to offer God when he chose them. It was simply part of God's plan. Israel was taken captive by the Egyptians, who enslaved them for some 430 years. God, through his own might and power, with absolutely no help from Israel, delivered them from their servitude and began taking them into a land he was going to give them, which is still being fought over today. But they rebelled against God on the way, so God kept them in the desert for 40 years until all those who had rebelled had died. Then God brought them into the promised land, and God dwelt with them and fed and cared for them as he had through the 40 years in the desert. Israel, of course, as is man's nature, turned away from God time after time and would go into captivity, and God would rescue them, and for a period of time things would be well, and then it would happen all over again. Israel lasted, though, until the Messiah, God the Son, Jesus, came into the world of man as a man to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus, as fully man, did the entire will of God in obedience to every word the Father had given him. He lived and died and was bodily resurrected and returned to heaven, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, having been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Within a few decades after his death and resurrection, the nation of Israel went into captivity and for about 1,900 years ceased to exist as a nation and people of the world. Since that time, God has been actively building his church of spirit-born people who belong to his kingdom. The reason I've gone through all this, brief though it is just to show that God is real, that he has never for a moment been sidetracked from his goal and purpose. To believe in him is to believe in and accept him as the Almighty God, and to believe the things that he says, because it's the only truth and hope that we have. If we genuinely believe in God and believe in Christ, he says that he will save us from death and give us eternal life, and will completely change us in spirit, in soul, and at Christ's return, he'll change our bodies. It is the gift of God's grace. The only thing God has given us to do is to believe in and obey him and trust in him and his finished work for our salvation. It is to become like him, like Jesus Christ. Now, this is not complicated. It's laid out in a few words in John chapter 1. Now, here's how a person is saved from death and given the eternal life of God. And this is the only way. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, we're told, and this is speaking of God the Word that we read of earlier, who became the man, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. He came to his own that he had created. They did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You know, it's astonishing that so few churches in Christianity teach this, or the following truths. Verse 13, who were born, now speaking of those who had received him and believed in him, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. All that has been done because of what we're told in verse 14 concerning Jesus. And the Word, this is God the Word that is in the first two verses of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. He says, glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to end with these words of Jesus addressing the believer's life, which is absolutely safe in Christ. This is in John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is a wonderful summation of Jesus' statement in John 3:16 that we read earlier, saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And now in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus tells us this. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Well, if you would like a CD of today's program, which is number 108, we'll be glad to mail you one, and they're entirely free. To receive a CD of today's program, just call this number, 501-316-0136, and ask for program number 108, or write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Or you're certainly welcome to download any of our programs from our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, this is program number 108. Our phone number is 501-316-0136. Our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And our website address is www.communitychurchofgod.com. Well, we thank you for being with us today. We hope you can join us again next week at this same time as we continue our study of what it means to live in Christ.